Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, can we say on this podcast, Merry Christmas? Fellas, can we say Merry Christmas? Are we from that generation that says Merry Christmas? Do you agree?
Absolutely. Merry
We
Christmas.
are.
Absolutely.
All
Ho,
right.
ho, ho.
So,
Merry
welcome to
Christmas.
the
Merry Christmas.
Christmas episode of the 1973 podcast. So, let's get right into this. One of our growing segments. People are watching. I checked the analytics. They stay to see what we want to talk about when it comes to one watch. Everybody knows the rules. It's movie time. Whose pick was it last week? It was the man that finally bought into getting festive, getting involved. Ed, take it away. Oh no, it was Tom's
No, it's
pick.
Tom. It was
Oh,
Tom. Tom is here.
that's right. I fucked up already
Yeah.
right off the rip.
Old age setting in.
So, yeah, that's it.
Oh,
If we're sponsored by anything, it should be CTE. This is a CTE podcast, 100%.
y'all so
Ed,
old, we should be sponsored by AARP.
not yet. Not yet.
I already get the envelopes.
Me too.
Yeah. Ed, take it away.
All
Take us
right.
from
Hey.
this.
All right. Hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the show or just love the retro feel, we've got something for everybody. From bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with top-notch. I say top-notch quality. They're timeless styles that you create, perfect for lounging at home or making a statement out and about. And don't wait, our collection is flying off the shelves. Fast and you can say, don't be cheap, buy a shirt. Visit us at bonfire.com and grab your favorites before they're gone. And then the 1973 podcast t-shirt store on YouTube, just click the link below. All right.
As Brad will tell you, quality shirts are better than the quality at Bucky's. Just saying.
So yeah, quality is top-notch, man. I have like four podcast t-shirts. I got another one on the way.
That's why we love you, Brad.
I can't stop buying them. It's like half my closet.
So let's go to the professor. Low-hanging fruit with this pick. You got to admit, Thomas, it was low-hanging fruit. I don't know what we're going to pick for Christmas movies next year, but we're knocking them all out of the park. So tell us your thoughts on the movie you picked, A Christmas Story.
All right. Well, first, let me do a quick synopsis of what the movie's about because I was actually told by a few people who watch a podcast that they thought we should actually give a quick little blurb on what the movie's actually about. All right. So it's a movie. It's based in the 1940s. A young boy named Ralphie Parker. He's attempting to convince his parents that he's old enough and responsible enough to get a Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas. So it just follows him and his weird, crazy, eccentric family around, and it shows him the things he'll go through to try to convince everyone that he deserves it. I actually thought it was a great movie. It's based on a Gene Shepherd book and actually directed. It's funny. This movie was destined for this podcast because it was directed by Bob Clark. So, but it's funny. The guy, just a quick thing about the guy, Gene Shepherd, who wrote it, they actually put him in the movie. A quick thing in the movie, he plays a parent of a kid in the mall scene with the Santa, and I guess he was a total pain in the ass on set. Him and the director did not get along at all. He wanted to make all these changes, and the director told him to get lost. But I thought it was a great movie. It's got a ton of quotables that we always talk about, quotables. It's a good Christmas movie. My only complaint, and it's not about the movie, it's just that you're oversaturated with it now. I mean, and it's basically on for what, 24 hours on Christmas Day, and I bet it's on almost every day for like the last 2 weeks. It's been somewhere where you can watch it. But my score, I gave it an 8.4. I will say that Darren sent me he gave it an 8. He said his favorite scene was the scene where the kid put his tongue up on the got it frozen to the flagpole. I got a couple funny little blurbs about it. The mom is from Slapshot, where just little things of where these certain people came from. The mom's from Slapshot. The kid that plays Flick in it was the kid in the Richard Pryor movie, The Toy. And the kid that was the bully, I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now, but he was actually in a series with comedian Chris Titus. He was on that. He was his best friend in that, so he starred in that. But the director he directed Porky's, the first two Porky's, and he it's kind of sad. He had hooked up with Howard Stern. They were going to do a remake of the franchise, and he tragically died in a car accident back in 2007. So he got gypped from having a remake of that franchise. But I gave it what did I say, 8-4?
8-4.
There you go.
Okay. Shaggy, you weren't here last week, so take it away with your review of Christmas Story.
I believe Schwartz was in a porno movie down the road, too, when he got a little bit older. Just kind of bring that up, too. Just saying. All right, let's see. We already talked about Hand's wife. I mean, mom. And, yeah, it's a great movie. Like you said, it does. I mean, I don't know how many times in the past few years I'd, like, fall asleep on Christmas Eve, wake up at Christmas, and be right at the exact same moment of the movie I fell asleep on. I'm like, oh, right where I left off. Perfect. It's a classic. Freaking love everybody in that movie. I'm just saying, so many freaking memorable scenes. I can't, like, I'm trying to think of which one that point out besides the tongue sticking scene. What's his name? Can't put his arms down, all that good stuff. I'd give it like a 7.9. Like, I love it, but I'm like, you know, it's still not my favorite movie, but I do love it.
Yeah, I'll take it from here, because Tom pretty much set the table for a lot of things with this movie. For me, this was one of the movies that my father, for many reasons, loved this movie. Named after him, when in the beginning credits, he's hitting me in Cinema 140. Look, look, look! I'm like, I know, I'm old enough to be able to read your name on the screen. I get it. So for years after that, I think it hit home with the way the kids were when my father grew up. He related to, like, every kid in that movie. Knew somebody that was like it. Related with the time period, the old man, the way the house was. You know, there's pull at your heartstring moments in there. The bullies, when bullies were bullies. You know, he had yellow eyes and, you know, teeth and all that other stuff. When they get beat up in the alley. Great. Quotable, super quotable. You know, back if you were buying DVDs that, you know, whether they show it 1,000 times or not, you probably owned it. So for me, kind of conflicted with this score, but I'm going to give it an 8-1 from just for a lot of different reasons. So, Scotty, let's throw it to you. Review Christmas Story.
All right. This is one of those movies that I never remember it coming out, but just always remember seeing it on TV. Right. So you kind of found your way to it. And yeah, absolutely quotable. Really kind of really, really cool. You know, we haven't said we'll shoot your eye out. You know, we all wanted a BB gun growing up. Right. It was like the boy's toy of being able to get. And I thought it was so relatable. They had a sequel to it not too long ago, which was trash. It was like, I don't even think I made it through it. What I found interesting with it also is, you know, the iconic lamp that we all see, right? The big thigh and all of, you know, all of that.
The glow of neon sex in the window.
Yeah.
Fragile.
Yeah. And the funny part is, I was looking it up. There's no cord for that lamp. That lamp actually, there's no power to it. There's actually no light bulb, but somehow it lights up, right? And so there was no cord in it. I was kind of looking up a few things with that. And I thought that was just kind of hilarious on that end. So I would give it a solid 8.
Good, good. Rookie score, Scotty. Rookie score. You gotta go to the Phantom. Phantom, equal minds, think alike. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Well, this is my Christmas movie. It's a reason why it's on all day. I think it's the GOAT of the Christmas movies. My favorite one. I watch it every single Christmas, like right from the morning, like when the kids are opening the presents. We're watching Christmas Story. I just love it. I think I can remember also, Andy mentioned going to Cinema 140. I went to go watch that movie with my mother, probably like 10 years old. I think it came out in like 1983. It's It's fantastic. I love everything about it. You know, the pink bunny costume, just go put it on, take it off. The lamp, hilarious. But yeah, I'm going high. I'm going like 8-6. That's by far my favorite Christmas movie.
Okay, it's on record.
Little fact, it was shot here in Toronto.
Yeah, it's
probably actually, Cleveland, apparently.
Yeah, and the story, it's set in Cleveland. So, you know, fun fact about that, there's probably a little bit of lore around the movie now with the internet and stuff like that. But I'm going to the mouth of the South. Ed, what is your review of Christmas Story?
Oh, man, it is truly a classic. I mean, I'm going to agree with pretty much everybody here. Great movie. Super quotable. You know, Ralphie with the BB gun. You know, I think that I know I had one. You know, that was my first kind of true weapon safety class with my dad. You know, it was like, so, I mean, that brings back memories there. You know, I think that everybody kind of has that memory of the first time that you swear in front of your parents and it kind of like slips out. You're like, oops. Didn't mean that to happen.
The you know? F dash 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 word.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you know, one of my mom's favorite, you know, Andy, kind of piggybacking on what you said with your dad, my mom knew people that had like the dogs, like the Bumpus's dogs. And every time she'd see that, she'd laugh. She's like, oh my God, that reminds me of, you know, back in the day, you know. And just a great movie. You know, a little bit of tidbits, you know, I'm going to pack on a little tidbit of information. This was based on three short stories that were put in Playboy. I did not know that until I'm doing a little research today. And so it's just an overall great movie. You know, every time it's on, I do watch it. You know, obviously I'm not watching it, you know, 12 times on Christmas Eve into Christmas, but, you know, I do watch it at least once a year. Great movie. I'm going to give it like an 8.5.
A 5 from Steady Edge. You'll shoot your eye out, Ed.
Who has Steady had Eddie. Who has had their mouth washed out with soap?
I have.
I have.
I have.
And it wasn't even by my mother. It was by my aunt.
Not fun.
The part that's great is after he swears and he says he heard it from Flick. The mother calls. And he's saying it to himself. Oh, I can hear him getting the shit kicked out of him from four blocks away.
I definitely sound like Flick once in a while.
We're gonna finish up the round table of A Christmas Story with the man that's got next week's pick. Brad Pitt, bring us home.
Hold on. I have a visitor. He wants to come say hi. Come here. Say hi to the podcast, buddy.
Hi. Yeah.
I love it.
Let's go.
Look, that is awesome.
It's good That's stuff.
Awesome. He actually wore this to school like last week, right? Or the week before.
No, it was last week.
You know why, Brad?
No bullying.
No bullying anymore.
No bullying. That's why.
That's why.
All right, go ahead, buddy.
Hold on.
Good job. 1973 mascot
awesome.
Right there. So this movie is also it's a Christmas classic. It's top of my list. Definitely as a kid, it was one of my favorites. I had a toy version of the Red Ryder BB gun. I didn't get like the actual BB gun, but they sold like air rifles. You would like cock it and you would shoot it, and it was like an air sound that come out of it. So that's the closest I could get to it growing up. But I just feel like the dad in that movie was all of our dads growing up. Like all of our dads acted like that during the holidays. The mom acted like all of our moms. You know, we were all Ralphie. Whether it was a BB gun we were asking for, we all had that one gift where our parents were like, nah, you're too young. You're too young. And then we got it. And we're like, oh, shit, we got it. I also thought that this movie was going to be Mandela affected. It was like growing up, I watched the shit out of that movie. But there was like a period of like 10 years when I was first joined the military. Nobody I met had ever even heard of that movie. And I was like, what the fuck? It's A Christmas Story. How do you not know who Ralphie is? But then all of a sudden, TBS bought the rights and played it on repeat all day. And Hallmark bought the rights and started making ornaments and decor. And it just like it exploded. It came out of nowhere. It just exploded. And now it's literally everywhere. Like you can't not watch it. But yeah, they did make a sequel called Christmas Story 2. It sucks. Don't watch it. I think NBC did a live version. Like back in the day, they did a lot of live renditions of shows. Like they did a live Sound of Music. Sucked. They did a live Christmas Story during Christmas. It sucked. There's nothing good about it at all. It's extremely forgettable. But then a few years ago, they took the original cast and they made a Christmas Story. Watchable. It's not as good as the original, but it's still a great Christmas movie. We watched it the other night. It's incredible. So I'll give it, based on the nostalgia and the memories, and the still just being able to enjoy that movie with my family. And I also make it a point on New Year's Day to take my family to a Chinese restaurant to get food.
Let's try to do that. Who's going to jump on that grenade and sing like it?
Every time I say that, Jess gets so embarrassed. But anyway, I try to do that every now and then if she'll let me. She hates Chinese buffet, but I love it. So I'll be like, hey, do you want to make a lot of food? You want to go to the buffet? Like, you pick. But I'll give it a solid 8-3. 8-3, man. I think that's a pretty respectable score.
Brad, I said 8-1, just so we can be clear.
Okay.
So, because we came to you last, that means you get to pick next week's movie. So, let everybody know what it is.
It's got to be a Christmas movie, right?
It doesn't have to be, but...
Well, I think I'm the last one to pick for a Christmas flick, right?
All right,
last one?
Let's go.
So, Bill Murray's Scrooged. My absolute favorite Christmas movie I've ever, like, favorite. It is my favorite Christmas. Mine, personally, fucking love that movie. I have the soundtrack on vinyl. I probably got a VHS of that shit laying around somewhere, or a DVD. Fucking love that movie. Bill Murray, Scrooged. I already watched it.
So did I.
Fucking love that movie, man. So that's my pick.
So what you're saying is Scrooged is the Rogue One of Christmas movies, feel?
Oh, that's tough because Rogue One is a perfect movie and Scrooge isn't perfect. It's just fun to watch.
Okay. All right. So we're just trying to be clear.
It's quotable, so you also give it a 10. No.
Thomas, do you have the score?
Yeah, before I give it, I got two more quick tidbits on movie. With the scene where they're in the Chinese restaurant and they cut the head off. They gave the mom the wrong script and they wanted her to have natural reactions. So what you saw on screen was actually her reactions when it happened. That would never happen now is when in the scene where Ralphie is fantasizing about or dreaming about in the shootout. I think I forgot who it was with, Black Bart or something like that. He's actually chewing real tobacco in the thing. They had him chewing real tobacco in the scene.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Did we all do that age?
Yeah, we did.
Absolutely.
Cherry school, baby.
So the final score, the average, 8.22.
8.22. So we're round down. That's an 8.2.
Too low.
Nice. That's it. It's official in the book. So before we move away from the movie talk, talking mostly to our generation, I stumbled upon a documentary and I said, I gotta watch this for many different reasons. I watched the Joe Francis Girls Gone Wild documentary. I don't know if anybody else has watched it, but it's definitely worth a watch.
Were they called documentaries back then?
Listen, I can honestly say,
he's talking about the documentary, not his library.
I was never a Girls Gone Wild person, but if I had known what I know after watching this documentary, maybe I would have been. Let's just say.
Where do we find it?
After watching that documentary, I'd be rich.
But it's definitely, I don't know if anybody's watched it yet, but it's definitely something that on a future podcast we should do a watch, because that was right in the divine time of going out on a Saturday night. So it would fit the mold of the podcast very well. So if you haven't watched it, definitely it's three episodes. So check it out. It's available. The other thing that I was I saw this week, and I've never really brought this up on a podcast, but I'm going to talk towards Brad because one of the segments that we do with the movie talk, this incumbent. So I saw the trailer for Superman.
Mm.
I don't know if you saw it, but it looks amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. It looks like they finally are doing it right. Brad, I don't know if you saw it. I know you have a love for comic books. What'd you think?
I saw parts of it, but I always wait for DC movies to come out because they always get super hyped up and then they fucking suck.
Okay. That is true.
Except for John Cena's Peacemaker on HBO.
That was good.
Which, whether you're into DC or comics at all, that is a phenomenal TV show. And then the most recent, not the first Suicide Squad, but the second Suicide Squad remake, was also very good.
That was good.
Didn't so watch The Flash. Just literally Justice League or Batman vs. Superman, all of them. They all fucking suck, dude.
The first Wonder Woman was bad.
The Rock Shazam or Whoa. The Rock's not Black Adam sucked. Shazam 1 and 2 were good.
Yep, yep.
But I'm not a fan, so I'm going to wait till it comes out. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
I thought Man of Steel was great.
As long as Ben Affleck's not in it, we're good.
Yeah, I've never been a huge DC Comics fan or movie fan or Superman fan. Superman always seems to me like the most boring superhero ever. Like the dude could like crush the world in the, you know, like that, but he doesn't. It's weird.
I did watch the documentary.
And then if you have one sliver of kryptonite, you can literally beat him. It's weird. It's weird. Super weird.
Good, Shaggy. You were saying about
sorry, but see, I did watch a documentary on Christopher Reeves. That was pretty interesting about his what's it called there? His
legs.
No. What the
his inability
raised, to the foundation. The foundation he had and the money they raised, how it's going towards stem cell research and all that stuff, and how his kids have carried it on and stuff.
So yeah, that's a tough fall, Shaggy. I must say that's a tough fall because you got these two guys talking about him battling a horse and
I mean it's not tits like freaking you know Girls Gone Wild but
maybe it should be
possibly so.
Hey, there's videos for everything, so there's a genre for everybody.
Just that's what the interweb is for. So Thomas, we're gonna skip over the wrestling this week and we're gonna get right into the sports talk. So it's time for Tom's Shitty Picks. Tom, take it away.
All righty. Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything is brewed in-house, including their hard iced teas, their beers, vodka sodas, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. So do you want to just get
do
the shitty picks? You want to start?
All right. Do the shitty picks.
I was just grasping at straws last week. I didn't think any of them were going to be upsets, but I took SMU over more hope than anything, and they got demolished. And we'll get into that a little bit later because I'm pretty sure like four of us here, at least four of us have some major complaints about the college thing. But this week here, I'm going to go for I'm going to pick all four games coming up in the college playoffs. I'm going Texas over Arizona State, Oregon over Ohio State, Penn State over Boise State, and I'm going Notre Dame over Georgia. Georgia's quarterback's hurt. I don't think they're going to have the offense to keep up with Notre Dame. So there you go, AC.
So a little blip on the radar this week that I wanted to save for you know the podcast. It kind of popped up the other day, and when I saw it, I had to do a double take because I didn't believe what I saw. The passing of Ricky Henderson. So I want to talk to the fellas. Or thoughts on the passing of Ricky Henderson. I'm going to go to Scotty first. Scotty, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. No, I'm always kind of blown away, right, when you kind of actually hear the ages. And I keep denying how old I'm getting. So when I heard that he was 65, I was like, oh, my God, I feel like I was just watching him. That guy's been on almost half the teams in Major League Baseball. I think he actually went to the Oakland Athletics like four times.
That many?
Yeah. He went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, he was just dynamic to watch, right? You didn't want to see him get on the bases. You absolutely did not want to see him get on the bases. And I would have to say he's got, you know, we talk about those untouchable records, the runs and the stolen bases. Nobody's, those might stand, you know, at least they'll stand through our lifetimes, I think. You look at major league players now, and I went through it last night, just kind of seeing who might even be close, and there's no one close. There's no one even close to tracking the amount of runs or stolen bases that he'll get. It's just he was Ricky was a legend.
Yeah, I always thought it was funny how we always talked in third person, but the story that I saw this week, because of course, like when Pete Rose passed, you see all the clips that people upload, stuff that never was uploaded. You're like, why didn't I see this before? It was Harold Baines or Harold Reynolds, one of them had said that,
Reynolds.
you
Oh,
know, when he got injured, and Harold Baines won the Harold Reynolds, I'm sorry, won the title with 60 stolen bases. He called him up and he said Ricky would have had that
all-star
at
break.
the All-Star break, right? Something like
And
that.
then
Yeah.
hangs up on
And then hangs up. Yeah.
him.
He goes, Henderson here, right? Something like that. So Phantom, thoughts on Rick Henderson? I know one of your favorites.
Oh man, it's kind of not funny. It's sad, but when that stuff pops up on a Twitter or wherever you catch it on some kind of social media, there's certain people that you don't really realize how much like they had an effect on you growing up until you see that they've passed. Because it's like when I read it was like so taken back by it. I like as somebody like that played a lot of baseball growing up, and there were certain guys that like drew me like. Baseball's kind of a boring game, but Ricky made it exciting. There's like nobody stealing 100 bases anymore. They're trying to change the rules so people can steal 100 bases. And between that, greatest leadoff hitter of all time, hit those home runs to lead off a game. The guy could jack a home run trot like no other. Like he invented swag in baseball. Like like I found myself trying to copy him when I was trying to play. We used to be playing, be playing softball. We'd be like slapping the glove off the thigh before we catch the ball, and all that good stuff. So it's definitely a sad day to find out he passed so young. Another great Ricky Henderson story. I guess he had played, towards the end of his career, starts playing on a bunch of different teams. So he ends up in Seattle. So if you know John Olerud had some kind of head injury or something when he was a kid. So when he played in the field, he always wore the batter's helmet. So he used to be teammates with Ricky Henderson in Toronto, I believe. And Ricky Henderson goes up to him and says, "Hey, you play with a helmet on?" And John Olerud's like, "Yeah, I do." Then Ricky Henderson's like, "Oh, when I played for Toronto, I used to play with a guy that wore a helmet on." And John Olerud's like, "Yeah, that was me, dude." It's not like he was like a backup player. He was like an all-star at the time. So it was Ricky's world doing it Ricky's way, but you gotta love him for it. Definitely crazy. One
Not
of my
doing the taxes.
yeah. They don't make him like that anymore.
Definitely. Ed, thoughts on Rick Anderson?
Well, I'm gonna just play this. I don't know if the audio is gonna pick it up or not. I don't know
Nope.
if anybody picks that up or not,
Nope.
but that's from This Week in Baseball. I remember watching Ricky on that show all the time. I mean,
Quinn.
Yep.
and just to see him, the way that he came out, like out of his stance to steal a base, man, he's just incredible. I mean, he just got up and went. And like there weren't a lot of guys that just jumped off the screen like that when you were little. To kind of piggyback on Ryan's point, like you just looked at him like, that dude's just badass. And really just, you know, and piggybacking on Scotty's point, man, yeah, all these guys are dying. It's like, man, we're getting old. But, you know, but do I think that his records are untouchable? No, they're not untouchable, but I'm gonna agree with Scotty that I don't think that anybody's gonna touch him in our lifetime. I mean, unless they make the bags like the size of a pizza box, which they are getting them to at this point, then it's probably gonna be doable. But I mean, what's the most stolen bases that anybody's had recently was what, 60? or 63 this year. So 100 is a lot. So I don't know, I'm kicking to the next person.
Shaggy, thoughts on Ricky being Ricky?
Yeah, I would say he is our version of and our generation of the Yogi Bear. You always talk about Yogi-isms. I think we got Ricky-isms. Like, everyone's got a Ricky Henderson story, like a John Elwood one. I forgot about the old double tap on the friggin' thigh before I caught the ball. I forgot about doing that. I remember trying to get his batting stance, like how low he was in that strike zone. I remember trying to swing out of that and fell on my ass. I didn't do that again. But I remember Ricky, there's a story I remember hearing about Ricky one time. Like, he would go to dinner at restaurants and just assume that the restaurant was paying for it. He'd eat and just fucking leave. Like, we didn't pay the tab. He's like, I'm Ricky. Fuck it. He was an odd duck, but he was a great human being. I freaking loved watching him play when I was a kid.
Hey, well, bad Andy.
The Ricky Henderson.
Brad? What? Sorry. You're cutting out. So Ricky Henderson was my older brother's favorite baseball player growing up. My favorite baseball player growing up was Nolan Ryan. And so when we lived in California, my parents got us tickets to an A's game where the Rangers were traveling to play in Oakland. So they surprised us, like, hey, we got tickets. This is an awesome thing. We were all so excited. The night before the game, Ricky Henderson gets traded.
Oh.
We still went because we were like, hey, it's Nolan Ryan. It was, oh, I forgot to say this in the beginning. It was Nolan Ryan's farewell season. So they were basically guaranteeing, like, hey, he's going to start this game, or this game, because people were paying to go see
right.
Nolan Ryan one last time. So our game was a guaranteed game. He no-showed.
No.
didn't even travel with the team.
Jesus.
Didn't pitch, didn't travel, wasn't even there. It was a complete disaster, dude.
Oh.
And you were in Oakland. Even worse.
Yeah, even worse. Yep. It was miserable. Yeah, but it happens.
another great Ricky Henderson story was they were saying that he had got a, I forget what team he was playing for, but he got a check for $1 million. And he took the check and he put it in a frame. And he had it in his living room on the wall because growing up, he was like, someday I want to make $1 million. I grew up with nothing and I got my million. So he's got the $1 million on the wall. And after time goes by, the team calls him up and be like, hey, do you ever cash that check? And he's like, no, I got it on my wall. And they're like, hey, like, can you do us a favor? Can you like bring it to the bank and like cash it and then like put a duplicate up there or something if you want to display it? So like the guy got $1 million from some team he never cashes the check. He just puts it on a wall for decoration.
Oh, Thomas, you gonna close out the Ricky Henderson stories?
Well, you know, I usually hate guys that are so arrogant and cocky, but when you back it up like Ricky, you can't hate him. I mean, just look at his stats. He's a .279 career hitter, 3,055 hits, 510 doubles, 660 triples, 297 homers, 1,115 RBIs, 2,295 runs, and 1,406 stolen bases. And he was top 10 all time in games played, plate appearances, walks, which he's first overall in leadoff home runs and walks. I mean, the guy was just a phenomenal player. And I believe he won a gold glove one year. He was the ALCS MVP one year. I mean, the guy's phenomenal. I mean, there's never going to be another Ricky Henderson.
Yeah, so, I would also say that maybe Willie Mays Hayes might have been inspired. Wesley Snipes' Willie Mays Hayes might have been inspired by Ricky Henderson.
Just a little nice. Bit. Right?
Just a wee bit.
Yeah. We'll have to save that for when we review that movie.
Good.
Love it. Let's talk about something that blasted across the feed this week. The Mouth of the South had a rant, and he was talking about the way college football is structured with the playoffs. So I'm going to point it over to Ed, and Ed, have at it. Talk to the NCAA.
First and foremost, I love the fact that it went to a 12 like team format, because now like there's no question the top 12 teams get in. But after this, you know, and then there was all this talk about, okay, we're going to expand it to 16. Well, after this weekend, I don't think that they should do that, because it looked to me like all the teams that went up against the real blue bloods of the league got their asses handed to them this week. And, you know, when they talk about reseeding, no, like just seed the teams properly at the beginning and let everybody play. Solve it out on the field. That's what this was supposed to solve. And funny story, I think it's solving it. Gentlemen?
Who wants to weigh in?
I'll jump in there. I'm with Ed all the way. The part of it that made like zero sense to me is that the teams that won their conferences that were in like shitty divisions, they like gave them like byes into like the top four, like right. Rather than just doing it by the NCAA rankings. If they had just taken the top 12 teams of their rankings and just ranked them in order, then hey, whatever. If the number one team plays a shitty team, then they kind of deserve it. But when you got teams catching byes that suck, and then you look at good teams, they look like they're gonna have a cakewalk to the Final Four. Doesn't make any sense. It's like you come up with a system to try to like we're gonna solve all our problems, and then you don't even do it right. You do it fucking half assed. That they're already talking about like next year switching it up, which would be for the betterment. But I mean, we were beating it to death talking about like any of these good, really really good teams, or why they're gonna schedule any games against good teams. They'll just try to be undefeated. So it's definitely better than the way they did it before, but I think it'll solve itself as you kind of go along. But maybe now that you're kind of getting down here to less games, now maybe somebody will get upset. So if they just did 8 teams rather than 12, no bye, and you kind of go from there, I think it might have been a little bit better. I think 12 is a little bit overkill. Never mind 16, but you gotta leave those. If you're having a shitty division, like. I'm not a big Alabama guy, but Alabama would have fucking shit on what I saw this weekend, so they should have been in.
I agree 100% with you, Ryan. I mean, one of those things, like that's just like to agree, like to talk about the point with Tom that Notre Dame's going to roll. Notre Dame didn't play anybody this year.
Right.
Shaggy, you wanted to make a point. Sorry.
Well, see, I'm not a mathematician at all, of course, but I'm like the way they do it up here for high school, they have like a power ranking where it's like your strength of schedule. Is some kind of formula, and then what you beat your opponents by, like up to like 3 touchdowns. Like, you know, if you beat them by 3 touchdowns, you get so many points. Beat them by less 3 touchdowns, you get so many points. And they kind of do some kind of, you know, figure it out that way. Like, I definitely think if you did a strength of schedule, you'd see like an Alabama there, not a fucking SMU and shit like that. And I think that, and like I said, I don't know what the formula is, but it should be something like that where they get somebody with an 8-3 but plays a tough ass schedule should be in there more than 11-1 team who played a cream puff schedule.
Look, man, I said it last week. They need to keep the top 12 playoff. Let that be. There needs to be a bottom 12 playoff bracket like they do in college basketball. Like the bottom 12 teams get an invitational tournament. Otherwise, these bowl games, within 2 or 3 years, they're not going to mean shit. They already don't mean shit. Now they mean less shit than they did last year because nobody gives a shit about the bowl games. Nobody cares about the Gator Bowl. I'm saying nobody cares. If we're going to say Alabama should be in there, statistically, Ole Miss had a harder schedule, a better defense, and outscored their opponents in a higher margin than Alabama did.
Yep.
It's so if we're going to take the playoff, the top 12 cannot be just straight up wins, losses. That is too little information. There are coaches already coming out and telling the media – well, if all the committee cares about is the win-loss, then watch what our schedule does in the next couple years. So it's going to be the death of college football. NIL and transfer portals already making it topsy-turvy world out here. But if they're only looking at wins-losses, you can kiss quality games goodbye. You'll still have rivalry games. You'll still have some interconference rivalry stuff, the state rivalries. So that'll be fun. But some of these matchups – these schedules are going to become soft as butter. Nobody's going to play anybody tough. The last point I'm going to say, conference championships, if they mean anything and you lose the conference championship, you should not get a bid in the playoff, period. That's your first playoff game. Half the teams in this playoff this year lost their dang conference championship. You're going to lose a championship and still get a top 12 playoff. That's bullshit. You lose the conference championship, you're fucking gone, dude. Sorry, but here's my point, though. If you want in, you got to win. Alabama, Ole Miss, some of these other, Miami. If you want to win, look, Bama, you should have beat OU. Sorry, Tom. Bama, if you want in, you should have beat Vandy. How you going to lose to Vanderbilt and OU and the talk about I should be in the playoff? No, you shouldn't. See you later. Next man up. Ole Miss, diehard Ole Miss fan. We lost to Kentucky in the beginning of the season. They have a losing record. So I don't think Ole Miss deserves to be in it. But if we're going to look at strength of schedule and other statistics outside of win losses, then, yeah, they should be in. And Lane Kiffin's been doing an excellent job trolling the media, by the way.
So I want to see trolls Tennessee now. They shit the bed. I want to see trolls them too, even though it's
SEC. Well, I mean, Tennessee's is old school, though. He's not going to shit on
Tennessee.
That's
true. That's true.
He coached there.
They already beat him there enough as it is.
That's he was true. Joey Freshwater in Tennessee. He's not going to shit on Tennessee.
I see the piggyback on what Brad said, that bottom 12, like the fucking Joe Blow U and UMass and all them, they should do it like Premier League soccer. Friggin', oh, you're the worst of the worst? You're going D2 now. You get less fucking funding. See you the fuck later.
Professor, want to weigh in on this football talk?
Debacle.
These games were so bad this weekend that I think I probably watched between the three games, maybe three quarters. I shut it off. I was so bored with it.
Yep.
I love Lane Kiffin. That was more entertaining than anything. His tweets and then Joel Klatt went scorched earth on him and told him he replied to one of his tweets and said, if your team played half as well as your tweets, you'd be playing right now.
Yeah.
And he shut him up. So that was hilarious, but they've got to do something because, I mean, I don't know what the right answer is. I mean, they've got this in place. Now they can tweak it hopefully a little bit and make these games a little more interesting because, I mean, I don't know what the ratings were, but I had no interest at all after about the second quarter and like almost any of these games.
The best thing I saw this weekend from college football was Shane Gillis on
college football. So fucking funny.
The best.
Alabama Jones.
He roasted Alabama Nick Saban. Yeah, Alabama Jones. He roasted Saban, bro.
That's the best. The best.
You could tell he got into Saban's skin, though.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Steam coming out of his ears.
He's like, great. This isn't a fun show?
Right.
Oh, no.
Am I not supposed to say that?
Serious football. Serious.
Since week one of college, Nick Saban's been loosening up. I'm like, all right, he's getting used to be on TV. The personality's coming out. Gillis started giving it to him. We got the freaking boohoo face on. I'm like, oh boy, where's your respect? Don't make fun of the old ball coach on TV.
The problem is he's got no skins in the game, so he's just on there saying it like how he feels. So credit to him for doing it. There should be more of that stuff.
Hell yeah.
It just would make it more entertaining, and that's probably some real life stuff bubbling to the surface. So good fan for
He played D1 football too. He's a lineman.
Allegedly.
For real.
Elon.
He says that he comes from a family with a history of special needs, so you never know.
Yeah, he looks like one of the Downs.
Leave his uncle and his grilled cheeses alone.
Yep. You know it.
His bit where he acts like he does have the Downs, like, it's hilarious.
Let's do some NFL football picks this week, Thomas. What do you got for us?
All right. Well, first I'll do the standings. Andy's got a 4-game lead. He's 157-67. Ryan is 153-71. I'm 152-72. Ed's 151-73. Brad is 150-74. And Chaggy's 126-77. And so it's close. We got, what, 2 weeks left. So we need Andy to take a couple, either take a week off or stop letting his kids do his picks.
it's all up in the CTE up here.
It's just a headache. Stop being a bitch.
All right. Well, this week coming up, week 17, there's a couple of good games, but there aren't a lot of really, really good games. So I had a hard time picking, but game one, Pittsburgh Steelers, I believe they're at home. They're playing the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy?
How can I not pick the Chiefs?
All righty. Shaggy?
You got to pick the Chiefs. I hate saying it.
All righty. Phantom?
I'm going to go to Steelers, try to make up a game.
All righty. Brad?
Got to pick the Chiefs.
All righty. Scotty?
I'm going to go Steelers. KC's got it all wrapped up.
Alrighty. Ed?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs, but tell me that it's not some Bush League stuff about having the ball boy call a timeout the other day.
Ooh, I saw that, yes.
I'm going to go with...
If that was anybody else, that would be like, you know, memo from the league, 15-yard fine. You know, come on now.
It's their league. Everybody else just plays in it.
There you go.
I'm going to go with KC on that one. Hopefully, I would like to see KC lose a game, but I don't think they're going to sit anyone until the week after that. But game two, which is not going to be as great a game now with the Tank Dell injury, but Houston Texans at home against the Baltimore Ravens. Andy?
Going Ravens.
All righty. Shaggy?
I'm going Texans. I think the Ravens blew their wad after winning it this week.
All righty. Phantom?
Ravens.
All righty. Brad?
I like Baltimore in this one.
All righty. Scotty?
Ravens.
All righty. Ed?
I'm going to go with the Ravens.
All righty. I'm going with Baltimore as well.
I'm going to make up a game.
Well, not in this game.
You make up like 30 game more.
Either. All right. Game three. Be a really good game. Minnesota Vikings at home against the Green Bay Packers. Andy?
I'm going Packers.
All righty. Shaggy?
Vikings. I got impressed with them.
All righty. Ryan?
Vikings.
All righty. Brad?
Vikes, for sure.
All righty. Scotty?
I'm going to say Green Bay. I'm not loving the news coming out of the Vikings already planning to move on from Darnold and looking at JJ.
Yep. Ed?
I'm going to go with the Packers.
Yep. I am going to go with Minnesota in this one. All right. The fourth game going to be – this is where it got a little bit tougher to pick. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons at home against the Washington Redskins. Commanders, I'm sorry. Andy?
A slip from the professor.
Tommy just got canceled.
Yes, I did.
It was a good run, sir. It was a good run.
Yes. They don't cancel anybody on Christmas time. Just say we're drinking eggnog. Falcons.
All righty. Shaggy.
I'm going with the Washington football team.
All righty. Phantom.
Washington.
All righty. Brad.
First of all, there's like three activist groups trying to change the name back to the dang Redskins. So say it all you want and say it proudly. Also, what's his name? Penix sucked ass this weekend. There is no way you could pick Atlanta in this. Go on Washington all the way on that one.
All righty. Scotty?
I agree with Brad. I don't think I was actually surprised they put him in when they're got a shot at it.
All right. They're playing the Giants.
True.
True. That is true.
I mean, you know, they wanted to get like a little bit of film on him and get him out there in a real game. So I mean,
they're gonna let the kid play Giants. So they can figure out if they're gonna dump that big contract. See if
that's
play.
A good point. Good point. Good
Ed,
point.
Ed, who then. You got?
You know, it's kind of like I don't trust the Falcons and I don't trust the Commanders, but I'm gonna go with the Commanders. They just seem like a little bit of a better team. Dan Quinn, I think, is a better coach.
All righty, I'm gonna go with
the fucking Falcons.
I'm going with Commanders as well. Try to pick up a game on Andy. All right, last game is a couple scrubs. I couldn't find another good game. So
if you say the Cowboys, I swear to God.
No. I wouldn't do that to you. Cleveland Browns at home against the Miami Dolphins.
Oh,
Andy.
Sweet Jesus.
Let's take those Brown kids to the pool. Let's go.
All righty. Shaggy?
Well, after this week, I saw how ass Cleveland's quarterback is. I guess I go to Miami.
All righty. Ryan?
I'm going with the Dolphins and with that, first place.
All right. Brad?
Cleveland deserves everything that's coming to them. They benched America's sweetheart, Jameis Winston, for no reason for a guy who is arguably the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Horrible.
He's the worst. Statistically, in every aspect of what a quarterback's supposed to be, he's the worst. Jameis Winston deserves better. Dolphins.
All righty. Scotty?
Easy one, Dolphins.
All righty. Ed?
I'm going to go with the Dolphins, man. The Browns are a train wreck like they are. My God, they're terrible.
Good pick, Andy.
Miles Garrett already got the vote leaving. All right, yeah, I'm going with Miami in this game as well. It was Cleveland. If they, I'd give them a little bit of a chance, like Brad said, if they play Jameis, but it's just horrible. All right, AC, that's five games.
All right, so we're going to wrap up the sports segment of this week's Christmas episode, and we're going to roll to another favorite episode of mine, the tinfoil hat. So, Thomas, bring us to the Twilight Zone, please.
All righty. Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week is brought to you by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love written by our very own Andy Clark, available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest special need Jack Russell Terrier when he passed away at the age of 21.
It's a good book.
Thank you, Brad Pitt.
All right. Tinfoil hat, Tom. Surprised you don't have tinfoil Santa hats on. So this one, I'm going to take it back to early 2000s. In 2003, this guy by the name of Jorg Fassbinder, whatever, his name doesn't matter, discovered the lost city of Uruk, which is more commonly known as Iraq. He found the tomb of Gilgamesh, which is ancient Mesopotamia, and this was a city known as the Venice of the Desert, had intricate system of canals and gardens. Now, Mesopotamia predated, you know, even the biblical times. Like, we're talking old, ancient history. Anyway, a month or so after Yorgi found this ancient city, the U.S. invaded Iraq. That's where the Iraqi war started. So, a little, you know, weird coincidence there. So, anyway, back to Gilgamesh, the epic of Gilgamesh, who supposedly lived here in ancient Mesopotamia in Iraq, inspired the Iliad and the Odyssey. It predates the Old Testament. Like, there was a time people thought that the Epic of Gilgamesh was like a plagiarism of the Old Testament. It references a great flood. There's tons of similarities. Like, basically, you could take the Epic of Gilgamesh and overlay it with the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, and it's the same text, essentially. Super weird. It's incredibly similar to Old Testament. And there's statues and pictures of Gilgamesh. This guy was supposed to be 17 feet tall. He was a giant. There's a statue of him holding a lion, a full-grown lion, and the lion looks like he's holding a kitten. Like, that's for size comparison. So, super weird stuff. I've read in high school parts of the Epic of Gilgamesh, especially like that great flood part. And we talk about great floods a lot on this podcast, that there was definitely some flooding events that occurred. So super weird stuff, man. Like, I would love to like get like a Smithsonian or like the Vatican's like perspective of what they feel about like what Gilgamesh is and how that, especially the overlay, how it basically is the Old Testament and whatnot, man. Super wild stuff, man. But that's it for this one.
Bradford, I don't want to deviate from your subject this week, but you did mention the Vatican.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what's going to happen on Christmas Eve. We're opening portals.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear about that?
No.
How the guy?
Oh, wait, no. The Pope said, yeah, the Pope said they're opening portals.
Right.
Which is wild, especially right, with all the alien shit going on in America.
So
have you seen the orbs? The orbs look like the ancient depictions and paintings and descriptions of what ancient people called angels.
So Ed is like the most Catholic guy on this show. I don't know why he's not chiming in with this Pope stuff. He's probably been to the Vatican. He was an altar boy.
Actually, I know one person on this podcast that has been to the Vatican, and he's dressed
as... Yes, I was just going to say, Scotty.
So...
Yep. Scott,
I believe that Scotty's a little bit more Catholic than I am.
Allegedly.
I mean, my take on it is that, you know, here's the thing. Should you be doing stuff like that at the Vatican? Probably not a good idea. But, you know, we all know the things, the deep, dark secrets that, you know, the Vatican holds, you know, when they went to South America, they burned all the tapestries that told stories and everything like that. You know, bottom line is that, you know, the Old Testament, is it based off of other stories? Of course it is, because every civilization in the world has a creation and they also have a great flood story. Just to, so, I mean, you know, it is what it is, but, you know, maybe we should leave things well enough alone, you know?
If they are going to broadcast it live, is that must-watch TV like Geraldo opening Al Capone's vault? I mean, if you got the TV on at home and it's Christmas Eve, I mean, why watch A Christmas Story for the, you know, 30,000th time? Why not watch the Pope open some portals? No, that's not.
Bro, we got the Pope opening portals, right? We got CERN trying to make black holes. And basically do this like great reset thing, and we're probably already living in an alternate fucking timeline, being living embodiment of Mandela effect. We don't even realize it. We have the Mandela effect happening like every day with shit. We have the sightings over Jersey. Now there's like news agencies are capturing like these like glowing orbs that the drones are circling. Those orbs, and like they zoom in and there's like they're spinning and shit. Matches the description of angels and like these floating orbs in the book of Ezekiel in the dang Bible. Like crazy, dude. And we still don't have answers for the Miami Mall incident with the aliens. We still don't know.
So I went to the Vatican. I had the map. I didn't see where the portals. I don't know where they kept the portals. I saw the porta potties. I didn't see the portals. But
did you ask the Pope?
Yeah, I've seen the Pope actually. I didn't get
to talk to him.
Really far away. I heard something funny today. Is they're basically saying, you know, Mary and Joseph. Joseph is, you know, the world's first stepdad because he wasn't actually the father of Jesus. I just thought that was hilarious. And when I was there, there's really cool things that they actually in the St. Peter's Basilica, they have former popes, other saints, and you can see their bodies right there. And they've been dead for like a couple hundred years, and they look, and they're called uncorruptibles.
Yep. And
I don't know how they do that. I don't know how they preserve them that particular way, but it's pretty fascinating to see.
Did y'all hear about those Russians that were coal mining like 10 or 20 years ago? No, it was like in the 70s, and they found the Pink Lady. Have you heard that, Andy?
No.
So they found this tomb, like they're digging, they're coal mining, and they like find this casket, this tomb, whatever, and it's like sealed up, and they can see through it because like the way it was, you know, done up is like the what Scotty was talking about, and there's like this lady in it, like this is like she was sleeping, and it's like she was covered in like this pink liquid. So anyway, they move it, they get it out, they do whatever, they crack the lid, they drain all the pink liquid out. As soon as they drain it out, she just like shrivels up and dies.
It must have been the liquid from the abyss.
Hey, man, that's, you know. But yeah, you should Google that one, Andy. That one is really weird. Really weird.
Well, maybe it's something that after we get past the holidays, if anybody sees any clips of that, because I'm sure it'll be all over social media if something epic happens. But if there is a live broadcast on CNN or something like that, I'd love to just have it in the background in case, you know, you see something you can't unsee, like the end of
Pope's portals.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, Google said they tapped into the multiverse. So why can't the Pope open portals?
Right.
Give a little hum and a domino. Did you go like this, like Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
Just Spiritus Sancto.
You spin it the other way, Brad. You got to spin it the other way. You're going in the wrong direction. There you go.
My bad. I'm an amateur.
Right the circle, wax on or wax off.
I'm an amateur.
Never gets old.
I'm never going to see the end of this Blackhawks rebuild.
Nope.
We're upon the end of days, boys.
In another timeline where they wear Fruit of the Loom with a cornucopia, they rebuilt that team, buddy.
That's true stories.
Brad, right? Watch hockey.
Yes, yes. So time to wrap up this festive episode. So
Ho
Shaggy,
ho ho.
Have a drink and how about a shout out?
Yeah, I'll shout to you guys. Have a great Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Well, I'll see you next week anyway. But have a great Merry Christmas. Hope your families do well. And see you next week.
Edwin, what do you got?
Well, Merry Christmas to everybody here. And Merry Christmas to everybody back home and all the guys down at the plant.
Yep. Scotty?
Well, I hope Santa is good to you because I know him. just waiting for somebody to say Santa, but no, none of you took it up. No, Merry Christmas to all of you. Actually, I'm going back home to Massachusetts. I'll be there in a few days. So if anybody's around, shoot, hit me up.
All right, Scotty. Professor, what do you got on this Jingle Jingle All the Way episode?
I don't have anything like local, so I'm going to go. I want to give a shout out. I watched Saturday Night Live last night, and I laughed my ass off at the weekend edition, the weekend update. Colin Jost or Jost, whatever his name is, and Michael Che, they have a tradition every the last episode before the new year. They let each other write each other's jokes, and the other person can't see them until they actually read them on air. And just so happened last night, Colin Jost's wife, Scarlett Johansson, was there, and every joke that they made Colin Jost read was tearing Scarlett Johansson to pieces, and he had to read it, and they kept cutting her face as he was reading it, and she was trying to put on a funny face and like laugh it off, but she looked like she was getting pissed. And
when he talked about a roast beef,
oh my god, yes. Yeah, had me laughing my ass off.
Not Scarlett Johansson, no.
Bradford?
Oh, my turn. I don't have a shout out. I'll shout out you guys. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Phantom
Merry Christmas. Lima. Merry Christmas.
I want to shout out all my parents out there that are doing the dirty work and not getting any credit because they're in competition with the man with the beard and the elf on the shelf and all that.
Fuck that elf.
You guys are putting in work right now. And thank you, guys. You're doing all right. You guys are a good group.
I can't say anything more than Merry Christmas to all you guys. It's another year almost done. We're almost at the end of year two. We're coming up on the 100th episode. We're just chugging along every week. Different group. Hopefully everybody's back for the 100th episode. We'd like to get it really robust for that last over the hump episode. So fellas, from our house to your house to everybody that watches religiously, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.